This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, I'm here. I'm Trav. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. And with me today is none other than Briz at HokieBriz. Welcome back, Briz.
Thanks for having me back. I didn't expect to be back so soon.
Yeah, and it really completes my plan of just phasing Jake completely out of the podcast. We had you on last week talking about VR, and then we had you on the Off-Kilter 16 talking about all the childhood mischief, and now you're just here and there's no Jake, and I couldn't be happier.
It was the perfect plan.
It really was. No, I'm kidding. What happened to Jake was he got bad news at his parole hearing. We don't have details, but that's never good.
No, that's not right. Everybody knows that he was rocking out so hard that his t-shirt got so hot it burst into flames, and he's suffering from third-degree burns.
I bet his belly button's okay, though. If you think about like the contact to the shirt, probably was able to salvage the belly button. Of course, we all know that's false. He was surgically removing a goldfish from his anus. I don't know that the goldfish survived, but I hear Jake is okay.
No, stop fooling around. Let's tell him what's really going on. Seriously. He's dead.
No, he's not. He's not dead. Seriously, though. Jake is fine. He's just going through some personal stuff right now. He'll be back next time for sure. Jake, please do not die before the next episode or else Brian will feel really bad.
Yes.
Really, really bad. If you're new to the show, once again, this one's weird. We got Brian here today, and Brian will probably be making a comeback in the future for sure. He was on the last episode, so if you just joined us like last week, this is going to be kind of normal to you. And then obviously, like we mentioned before, that Off-Kilter 16 about childhood mischief just released, so be sure to check all that out. But we are a show that talks mainly about video games, the games we play, the games we're beating, and we try to be a bit entertaining with that sort of tired idea. And I think we do okay, Brian. What do you think?
I agree. You're like the only podcast I listen to.
That's good. Good. It's good to hear. All right, so that takes us into recent pickups and on the radar. I picked up Xbox Game Pass, which is equal to picking up a lot of games. Now, Jake went through this a couple episodes ago, and then he wouldn't shut up about it.
Right.
Then he gave me a free pass to, or a free code to
so
get Xbox Game
Pass.
You
didn't even have to pay for it.
Nah, it's been free.
Jake just said, hey, here's 100 games.
Here's 100 games for a month.
Yeah.
Then I have to start paying for it.
You know.
But I'll detail the actual games that I got around to downloading when we get to the backlog section of the show, but I do want to just go ahead and tout the Game Pass. It is everything that Jake cracked it up to be. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic service, so can't wait to dig in a little bit more with that. But on my radar specific, I'm just looking forward to Far Cry 5, which comes out early next week. And I've already got it pre-ordered, and I can't wait to play it. And it kind of makes me sad that I was really into Persona 5, and then Sea of Thieves comes out, and I sort of switched gears and got into that. And then Far Cry 5 is going to come out and derail all of that, because that's the game I'm most excited for. So
yeah, I know you've been looking forward to that for a long time. And the last Far Cry game I played was 3, and I enjoyed it, but like it didn't like really, I don't know, grab me. So I skipped 4, even though it looked kind of cool. I was just like, it looks like a Far Cry game. I don't want to rain on your parade or anything. I think Far Cry 5 does look really cool, but I don't know. I'm going to wait and see.
Well, you did rain on my parade, but it's okay. I'll persevere. This one looks fun. It's it looks like a crazy redneck cult out in Montana, and that just makes me think of family. And so I can't wait to get in there and play it. But have you picked up any games?
I did. I picked up Skyrim VR, which is not actually out yet. I picked it up pre-order. I don't normally pre-order games, but this is one that I just knew as soon as they announced it, I was going to get it. So I was like, what the hell? I'll just buy it right now, even though it's not out yet. And that'll hopefully be a signal to Bethesda and maybe some other companies that, hey, you know, there is a market for these types of games in VR. So
this one guy bought it.
Yeah. You know, I heard that it was like one of the top sellers, like the same day that the pre-order came out. So I have no idea what that really means in terms of sales or anything, but I hope that it's, you know, good news for Bethesda so that they keep showing the VR platform the support that they have been.
Okay.
And then the other thing, actually, full disclosure, haven't picked this up yet. I read about it today at work, came straight here. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been home to actually buy it yet, but there's this kind of indie horror game called Paratopic. I'm not exactly sure how you say it.
It kind of looks like it would be a hot topic for hipsters.
Yeah, it actually looks like a 3D game from the early 90s, maybe. It's low poly, low res game, but it's like $5, $5.50 or something like that, and it looked really cool from the Kotaku article I read about it, so I was like, I'm probably going to pick that up when I get home.
It doesn't sound like the kind of game that Mr. HDR 4K television would be interested in.
Yeah, it's weird. I kind of stray out of that shiny new every once in a while if something sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I've always been partial to horror games and things that have a little unique hook to it. Right, so and you know, $5 is such a low bar of entry. It's like, even if I don't like it, I'm out of cheeseburger or something, you know.
Right. Well, there you go. So those are the games that we've picked up or plan to pick up soon. What happened last time?
Previously on Polykill, the fellas are joined by their blogger and good buddy Briz, who takes extra pleasure in sabotaging all the game titles. Trav knocked some quick and dirty games off the log. Briz completed Fallout 4 VR, and Jake plugs away at the behemoth of Monster Hunter World. A new segment transition is introduced, and Briz shares all you need to know about VR for the topic of Netscape.
And we're back, so Briz, you broke your podcast cherry there a couple weeks ago. We're on the Polykill podcast. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you guys let me come on to talk about VR, because it's definitely one of my passions right now. So it was really fun to maybe hopefully inform some other people about the state of VR and hopefully get them interested, because I definitely want more people in there with me.
It did make me a little jealous that I don't have a VR platform at the moment. Mm-hmm. PSVR, as you mentioned, you were kind of jealous of, and that's the one that I've kind of been leaning on, because it's the one that's probably most affordable, and if you already have a PlayStation 4, it's a good way to get into VR. So
definitely
considering it. Don't know if I can splooge on it. Don't know if I can splurge on it.
I bet
I'll splooge
you could
on
splooge
it.
On it. Yeah, you get the right game in there. Yeah.
You give me 15 minutes and a picture of Jake's face. I'll splooge all over it. But no,
that's nice.
That or a Switch is sort of my coin flip at the moment, so mm-hmm. I'm leaning more towards Switch, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and honestly, I like, from the outside looking in, I think you would enjoy a Switch more at this point. There's just more stuff on there that I think you would like.
Fair enough, and I can always use you for your vibes. So.
Exactly. Use me.
Yep. all right, that takes us into completed games, and the way we do this now, and which is it's a very poor transition, is we bring it in with a new song. So this week we got a little bit of Kiss.
Ah, wanna beat some games all night, da, 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 and party every day.
Okay, cool. We did it. All right, awesome.
I bet everybody just turned off the podcast.
It wasn't awkward. Just because I'm sweating head to toe does not mean that I was embarrassed to do that. But no, I jumped right in there, and I beat Fatty Fuck Marvin Missions like I said I would. Of course, that is Daffy Duck Marvin Missions. Brian, you've always wanted a jetpack, right?
For sure. Who doesn't?
Yeah, you could get anywhere you wanted to go at any moment as long as you had jetpack fuel.
Yeah.
I guess you probably have to sign like an FAA license.
Yeah, probably there's some regulations.
Probably, but in this game, Daffy has a jetpack, and it refills as soon as you land. So you really have to gauge your jumps. You jump with the little fella, and you can tap it while he's in the air and sort of go, but you got a meter, and you can run out. And that's the tricky part about this game. As a platformer where you're used to like jumping, you have, it's not just a double jump. You have like a jump meter that you can use while you're in the air, and that makes it really tricky, and also what I might call a son of a bitch at times.
Really,
it can get really hateful, and that's, I think, what makes the game unique. And it's like a Daffy Duck Marvin Mission on Game Boy game. Like who would play this? Why would I be playing this?
Yeah,
but I got hooked on that mechanic. It was like, this is actually kind of cool. Like I can fall off a ledge and then like goose it a little bit and go, you know, wherever I want to go. And it's not all about just straight jumping. There's a little bit of strategy to it. And, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. The last level, though, is a bastard.
Really?
It's a tough one. And I would, my tip to anybody that's, that would entertain playing this game, perhaps based on this podcast, I mean, I don't know if anybody would ever, but
I don't think there's any ads for game out there, so I think you might be the lone source here.
Yeah, I think for its time there were no ads for it, but it's just practice those jumps. Get used to staying in the air as long as possible. Little micro button pushes will help you out a lot. Just a little, just a little bit of tap, and that'll keep you in the air.
Kind of reminds me of Pharah from Overwatch. She's got a little jetpack, and it's got a limited life. But if you kind of tap it slowly, you can stay in the air for a really long time.
Yeah, that's the important thing to that one. I actually thought it was fun. I mentioned last time it was it's made by Sunsoft, so it's reminiscent of some of the or reminiscent to me of the tough Batman platformer for the NES because it's made by the same company. And so I recommend it for any old school platforming fans out there.
Yep.
Another one for me, since I have so many, I'll just do a few here. Is Piss in Boots. when I say the words Puss in Boots, what do you think of?
I think of the character from the Shrek movies.
Who was originally written by Charles Perrault. He was like a French writer back in the day. So, Puss in Boots was like an old fairy tale character.
Yeah.
It's about a conniving cat who tricked his way into gaining wealth. But this game is about a cat who does dumb fucking shit for no apparent reason. And there's probably a story, but who gives a shit?
Is it connected to the Shrek movies?
No, not at all. Okay. It's just a shitty NES game about a cat. It's not great. It is not a great game.
Okay.
I actually hardly even remember playing it. I wrote it on this list, and then today I'm reading this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, right. I did play that game. It's super easy. It's what you might call an action platformer, but I don't know. I feel like calling it both of those words is way too generous.
Right.
You have three different weapons. You're a cat. You kill clowns. You go through a... You're in a hot air balloon. I'm just remembering random shit about... I feel like I'm being, like, interrogated about it. It was late at night. I was drunk. So it takes about 15 or 20 minutes to complete. Took me two tries. The tip to beat it is just put it in your Nintendo and suffer for 20 minutes if it's really important to you. And so what I did...
How did they fit all of that random stuff into 15 minutes? Clowns and...
It is a fever dream.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bunch of just, you know, it's pussing and booting around.
It's like somebody's first game they ever made. They're just like, let's just throw clowns in with the Puss in Boots.
Yeah, when they're pitching this game to whoever owns the right to Puss in Boots, which I guess I don't know if anybody does.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get the rights to base your thing off a literary character from the 18th
century. I think
century.
That stuff is free.
It should be.
Free reign, whatever they call it.
I don't know. They were really... I don't know what the pitch was, but it must have been really good, and it probably wasn't what it ended up being. Another one for me is Chrono Triggered, which is written here on my sheet.
Because it triggered you.
It did. It actually did. It actually jigged. Now, you've often fantasized about time traveling to stop the apocalypse, right?
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
And by the apocalypse, you mean Donald Trump being elected.
That is an example.
That's what I would go back and change.
So when I finished the game, I was actually not so excited about finish it as I was just glad it was over.
Yeah,
because I by saying this, I'm probably pissing off 9 people listening to this. I'm probably pissing off like 8 of them.
Right.
By saying that I didn't like Chrono Trigger very much, but I don't mean that it's a bad game. I just think it wore out its welcome with me. It just wouldn't stop being a game.
Right.
I was like, I'm ready for this to end, and it was like, how about 6 to 7 more boss fights? And I was like, no. I mean, I think we're done here, and it's like, no. Trust me. 6 to 7.
Yeah.
And it's what it kept. I mean, the final push is so long. I mean, in addition to navigating through this ship, you really do have to fight 5 back-to-back bosses, and one of the bosses is made up of every boss you fought in the game up to that point, and there's no save in between. So it's a slog.
Now, I wonder if the difference here is, if you had played this game as a kid, you would probably think, wow, this game just keeps going. This is awesome.
I agree with you.
But right now, you're like, I just need to finish this so I can get back to Persona. God damn it, why do I have to fight so many bosses?
Exactly. And I think I was actually going to mention this. This is like, I feel like that's a perspective that we have lost as gamers, in that now we are so spoiled by having so many games that the idea of fully exploring, and then there's a lot of people that will. I mean, people that get platinum trophies all the time and get their money's worth out of these games. But for, I guess, what you might call, especially for this podcast, which is about beating games, we're more like high volume gamers. Like, want to get a lot of games, play a lot of games, take in a lot of experiences, and not really spend a lot of time on one game or any more time than it really needs. And that's a game where I'm just tired of it. And I was really, really ready to move on. But the time travel aspect is neat. I think for its time, it certainly would have blown me away if it were one of two games that if I had Super Mario World and Chrono Trigger, this game might have been one of my favorite games of all time. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm playing it, 20 years later, and I got tons of other stuff I want to get to. So, but I can certainly appreciate, what's good about it. I would say my tip for anybody that has never played it, and certainly I'm not the best at playing it, obviously. I bitched and moaned all the way through it, and I didn't have fun, but... I would say do as many side quests as possible for those individual side characters because you get power-ups from that. And while it feels like it's like, God, I don't want to play more of this game, it will actually help you out. It'll make the end of the game much easier to get through if you just do the work up front and get the upgraded weapons for that final push. So that's something I had to find out the hard way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But decent game. I mean, not my favorite. I'm more of an action RPG guy, but is certainly
at least
one
you can say you've beaten it now.
Yeah, I mean, I paid a decent amount for the cart. It's not a cheap one, and I did want to beat it. I didn't want it to just sit on the shelf, so I'm happy to have beaten it. And it might be one that maybe I go back to later and have a different perspective. That's always possible. Cool. Take one away here.
All right, I beat Rhyme. This was a Game Pass game that I downloaded. It was pretty short. Only took me two nights to beat it. I think it was somewhere around 4 hours, maybe four and a half. Do you know anything about it, or have you only downloaded it because we talked about it?
I know that Jake it was either a magical or a rapturous experience, which I can only imagine culminates in a wet dream.
I don't want to spoil anything, but there's no wet dreams. Sorry. I kind of want to compare it to like a journey or something. So it's slightly whimsical, slightly somber in tone.
I got that vibe just by watching some videos of it. Yeah.
It's got great music. It's got really cool little interactions. There's no HUD or anything like that. Everything that you need to know about things that you can interact with or places you need to go, they're just designed to kind of draw you that way. There is this little fox companion that kind of runs around, and he'll kind of give you clues on where you should go on some of the maps. It's definitely really cool. I really enjoyed it. It's really beautiful. And being as short it is, I think everybody should give it a try.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Wait, no. So, I think you'll have a good time with it.
It reminds me of a Reddit post I saw today, which was the Reddit question was, what was something that was really fun until everybody started doing it? And the top response, like I put my wife.
So good.
Smart. Rhyme does sound good. And, I we'll talk about it later, but it's certainly one that I've added to my backlog thanks to Game Pass.
Cool.
Next up for me is Trials of the Bloody Shaggin. Sounds like a bad night.
Yeah, sounds messy.
Does sound messy. But Trials of the Blood Dragon, which I think was a neat game. Now, Brian, you've often fallen asleep during an acid trip and had a wet dream about Scott Baio, right?
All the time.
Right. And that's why I think this game is fun, because it's just steeped. It's like teabagged in 80s references and early 90s even. It has a little bit of early 90s stuff. I think that's what's neat about the game, and neat does not imply that I love the game.
Right.
I just think that part's neat. Like, it's thematically fun, and of course, as the Trials games have perfected the motorcycle, bicycle aspects of ramps and that kind of thing, like, that shit always hilarious.
Yeah.
It's fun to do, even when you're failing at it, it's fun to retry it. But this one has some platforming stuff, where you're actually on foot, and you have... you can shoot things with a gun, and sometimes that's fun, but it's not. It feels very bolted on. Like the mechanics, the momentum of your character is not good. They're very slippery, so they slide off stuff constantly. There's a little platforming section where I just could not land it. I just couldn't do it. It took me forever. There's a jetpack level. As much as I loved Daffy Duck in a jetpack, in Trials, not great. It's super sucks.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, the voice acting, I don't even know of a word to describe it other than limp. It just felt like they were like developers' kids that they got in there. Like, it didn't feel like they were well acted. They felt just very shoehorned in.
Yeah.
For all its flaws, though, if you like the Trials games, it's a good length. It takes about 2 hours. suitable difficulty. I think it's difficulty really just relies in how shoddily made it is in some regard.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, you can have fun with it. But I would say instead of playing this game, I would just like throw on some neon tights and a headband, maybe turn up some synthwave on your Walkman and smack your sister in the face with a slap bracelet. And then you've got about as much 80s as you can stand. There or... better yet, go to the Retro Nonsense YouTube channel and watch his first episode of Stuck in the 80s, because that was pretty baller.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's all the 80s you need. You don't need this this shoehorned, junky game.
Now, did you ever play the Far Cry Blood Dragon game?
I did. I enjoyed that.
I played it. I never beat it, but I played it for a few hours, and I did really like the whole over-the-top 80s yeah. vibe, and they did a great job making it hilarious.
Yeah, that was much better done. Like, even the tutorial in that one was hilarious.
Yeah.
This one's not as funny as it is just trying to be cute, I think.
Yeah, when they announced this mashup,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody was just like, what? Like,
yeah.
How... Huh?
And I don't want to like discourage the mashup. I want them to Blood Dragon Assassin's Creed,
yeah,
or you know Blood That'd Dragon anything awesome. You got. In, yeah, in that. I think it's awesome. This one just didn't work out.
Okay,
but a lot of them I think are really good. I have a lot of fun with them. And by them I just mean that one that I liked, Far Cry Blood Dragon.
There,
another one for me before we get to you again or us really
yep.
is Pain and Pinch 2 Dog Days, which is of course Kane and Lynch 2. Dog Days.
I was going to say, what are you doing to your dogs?
Yeah, painting and pinching. So, Brian.
Yes.
You and your ex-cellmate have engaged in vigilante justice in foreign lands before, correct?
All the time.
So, you're asking yourself, Trevor, why would you play Kane and Lynch 2? You just got Game Pass, which came with, like, hundreds of games that you've probably never played. You have, you know, a room full of games that are, you know, you have hard copies of SNES titles and a bunch of games you've been meaning to get to. Why the hell would you play Kane and Lynch 2 Dog Days? And I'll tell you what, I was looking for games to play with my buddy Josh, and Josh and I have the cross-share, what do you call that? Cross-share Xbox. He has my home Xbox. I have his
home
Xbox.
I don't know if there's an official name for it.
Is it illegal?
I don't know that it's illegal or just a workaround. I don't know if I don't think they've ever come out and said this is a feature we'd like you to use.
Right.
I think it's just people figured it out and Microsoft is smart enough not to mess with it.
Don't mess with it. Yeah. Well, either way, we basically share the same library of games. So I buy a game, we both get it. But we were having some issues getting Game Pass to work for both of us, and turns out both of the games in our library that we had already downloaded, because we want to play a game now, we don't want to wait 45 minutes for a game to download. Kane and Lynch 2 was it. That was the only co-op game that we both had, because I think it was free a while back.
Yeah.
And it's a co-op shooter, and, you know, I would never play that game by myself, but with somebody else, if you just want to run around shooting dudes and laughing your ass off at, like, poor physics and goofy stories.
Yeah, doing it with a buddy always makes it better, even if the game itself is kind of mediocre.
It's true. I'm surprised, though, for this, you know, this game has a campaign, and I believe the multiplayer and single-player campaign are basically the same. It's less than 4 hours long. It is super-duper short. When I think of, you know, a lot of shooter campaigns that are, you know, Call of Duty or even like Army of Two or on and on down the line, I mean, six to seven hours, 8 hours seems more like it. But this one was pretty short, and but it's gritty, simple. It has a passable co-op experience. I mean, there's a lot about it I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ridiculous things about it is they tried to get artsy with it, and so the camera in the game is actually supposed to be found footage. And so you're supposed to believe that this cameraman's sort of following you around and documenting all of Kane and Lynch's heroics.
Okay.
But that's so stupid. Because it's like bullets flying everywhere. Like, and they never talk to him.
Yeah. But does it have like film grain and stuff?
It's grainy and filmy. And even more interesting is like if you headshot somebody or kill somebody, when you walk past them, their faces are blurred. Like it does look really weird.
Weird.
Yeah. And I encourage like any and all attempts to stand out and be interesting, but this one was just terrible. Like it doesn't make or break the game,
yeah.
But like as I'm playing it, I'm like, why this?
Yeah, it's just kind of confusing. Like,
yeah.
You would think if you were running around the city shooting people and there was a dude following you with a camera, you might acknowledge him at some point.
Yeah, be like, hey, get down.
Why are you filming all of our crimes that we're doing right now?
Yeah, that's true. My tip for that one is the long-range shooting in this game is terrible. Like, no matter what gun you find, well, not no matter what gun, but most of the guns you find, like, if you shoot any shoot at anybody over like 20 feet away, you might as well just be throwing like wet lettuce at them. Like, you're just not going to hit them like the reticle or whatever. A shotgun is awesome. You can hit somebody with a shotgun from like 100 yards. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That is totally backwards from every other shotgun in a video game.
I know. And they have pictures of the guns, like icons when you pick them up. You want to get one with like a long, thin barrel because it usually implies that it has better long range.
Right.
I had to figure that out. So after a while, we're just like comparing pictures of guns. Like, what does yours look like? Well, give me that one. I think it'll shoot further than this one. Like, because there's no names of the guns. It's all just icons.
That's weird.
So, yeah, there's a lot about it I didn't like. But if you do find yourself in some tough times, and Kane and Lynch 2 is all you have, go shotgun.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So that takes us to a game that you and I both beat just not even a full 24 hours ago.
Yeah. This is hot off the press.
Hot off the press. You like traipsing through the woods during a heavy snowfall, right?
I sure do, all the time.
And that's why Coca-Cola, this game is sponsored by Coca-Cola, no, just regular old Cola, was a good game. What did you think of it?
It was not quite what I expected. Honestly, I'm not sure what I expected, but I thought there would be more, like, because you start, in the very beginning of the game, you start in this little town, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't go in any of the buildings or anything. It's just sort of like the starting zone to get you into, like, where you're actually going to start playing the game. So, but I saw some pictures of that, like, screenshots of, like, the town and stuff. So I thought it was going to be, like, rummaging through buildings and looking for clues, maybe. Mm-hmm. Sort of like The Long Dark,
right.
You know?
Like some survival aspect of
it.
Yeah.
So it didn't turn out to be that. It was more of a first-person experience, would you say? An FPX?
It was very walkie simmy.
Yeah. it kind of reminded me of Dear Esther, that sort of thing. This one, of course, did have some more frights in it.
Certainly.
Accordingly for the subject matter. I thought it looked really good. I thought the snowy landscape was really pretty, and like the little things you can see off in the distance, like the red tower and the little volcano stuff, they look really cool, and the little stone sculptures and things, and when you'd see like a skull in the rocks. I thought it was very pretty. I thought it was interesting. I don't know, if I had to give it a rating, I'd give it maybe like a 6.5 or something.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I am. It didn't, like you said, it wasn't what I expected it to be, because, you know, when I think survival horror, I think this was light on both of those things.
Yeah.
Like, it was just more...
It was
like,
kind of towing the line between them.
Yeah, and I think the tension in the game, aside from a few moments, is heavily predicated on the music that they're playing.
Yes.
Like, if you change the soundtrack to that game and walk around, it could be a totally different experience.
Yeah.
But because they had all these, like, you know, tense moments and then just random, like, you know, big clashes of sound and then these droning noises, and you're like, what is that? What is going on around me? And you look around, there wouldn't be anything around you. No reason for you to be scared other than the music. And that happened a lot. And I don't dislike it. Like, I think that's another reason that a game like Gone Home got me. It was just the ambience. It wasn't the house. It wasn't any of the subject matter. It's just the sounds they put in my head.
Right.
Spooks me.
Just that sort of, you feel like you're alone, but something could be watching you.
Yeah.
So.
And it's crazy how much power music has over you in those situations.
Yeah.
Like, they've really figured that out, and then I fall for it every single time. But I think it's a great time of year to play it, because it's cold out and there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And I like the subject matter a lot. I even thought... This one had, we're not going to spoil anything, but the ending is ambiguous, but in a good way. Like, it sort of had us talking about it. Like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
It makes you want to go online and see what theories people have.
Yeah, and it also made me regret, or not really regret, but made me wish I could go back and read a little bit more of the things we collected more thoroughly to see if I could piece it together a little bit better. Because a lot of the times, and that's one of the game's downfalls, is that you would find a note on the ground, but you would feel like you were being chased and couldn't read it.
Yeah.
I
don't know if that's true or not, but that's how it felt.
We're never clear whether time stops when you pick it up, because you're like, I think I should be moving.
Because sometimes we'd put away a piece of paper and there would be something pretty close to us, and we're like, was it there when we picked up the paper, or did it, you know, reach us while we were reading this thing?
Yeah. But all in all, I think it was pretty good. One tip for that one would be to just listen for the sound of paper blowing.
Yeah, definitely. Like when you pointed that out, I was like, it was like a revelation.
Yeah, it's that really just means you're close to what you're looking for or something important because everything is notes. You're basically running around this area looking for notes. And it's interesting thing is it's narrated by Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Cool deal. So those are the games that that we beat. Now for the hashtag just beat it in it. We have some Polykillers. Of course, the rest of the hashtag just beat it folk will be in a separate video. But if you have if you beat a game and you take a screenshot of the credits and hashtag it just beat it, and you can take a screenshot with your built-in PS4, your built-in Xbox One, or your built-in Switch ways to do it, or if you beat a game on your toaster, just take a picture of it with your phone.
Yeah, and then probably Skyrim.
Probably Skyrim, because it's probably on your toaster. Just use the hashtag just beat it and include us if you want to. That's fine. Tell us what game it is. We don't always know by the credits, and we'll talk about it here on the show. So of the Polykillers this week, we had three guys, and they all beat the same number of games, beat three apiece. So we're a little down this week. In the past, we've had people beat up to like 10 or 11 games.
Yeah, man.
But now we have a lot more people beating fewer games at once, so... I'll go first here. We have How Are You Okay at How Are You Okay with a zero in there, who says the secret to a glistening bear chest is using bull milk. Finished Final Fight Guy, King of the Monsters, and Super Nintendo Clue. Now, bull milk is not a thing, Brian. I just want you to know that's a joke.
What have I been drinking?
buffalo milk.
There you
it's
go.
Different. Yeah, yeah. Bulls have penises.
That's a real. Wait. All right. So Kyle at Doplick finished Spectra Ball, or is that spelled correctly?
I'm spelling it the way he spelled it.
Spectra Ball. Guitar Hero on tour on the DS and Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy. A game about the time Kyle... A game about the time Kyle killed Bennett's family.
Just get over it, Bennett. Just get over it. They're just your family. Oh, that's good stuff.
I should have read that before. No,
I like that you busted out laughing. It made me feel good. Ryan at It's Rocket Sauce, whose new band Sexual Ketchup will play a live show next Friday in Milwaukee, finished Cannon Spike, The Last of Us, and Yoshi's Story. That's a good group of games. I just recently learned that Cannon Spike is like the Dreamcast version of like Smash Brothers. It has like Mega Man in it, some Capcom characters, so that's kind of cool.
That is cool. Also, great band name.
Yeah, Sexual Ketchup. I know the Rocket Sauce is a big fan of ketchup, and I know he lives in Milwaukee. I just try to appeal to the people. So there you go. So those have been the big three Polykillers this time, and once again, look out for the video that'll be posted afterward where we round up everybody else. Now it's time for, since we've completed games, knocked them off the backlog, we got to put games back on the backlog. Restocking the log. And then Jake usually goes, wow, wow, which wah, I guess wah. Is part of the song. I don't know. So restocking my log, I'm adding Crime.
Yeah, you want to be like me from that Off-Kilter podcast.
Yeah, I want to piss in the backseat of a used Taurus.
Hey, spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Might not have been a Taurus. We don't know. But no, Rhyme. Now, all of these that I'm going to bring up here are games that I acquired thanks to Game Pass. So Xbox Game Pass, great deal. A lot of games on there. I was surprised, actually, because when I think of games, when I think of Xbox exclusives, I'm like, I think I'm done with them. But uh-huh. Then I got the Game Pass, and I was going through it. I was like, I didn't play that. I want to play that. And, oh, I forgot about this one. So Rhyme, I didn't realize would be on there for some reason. I just kind of forgot about it. So that one, Super Fucky's Tale, which is about the cute little fox named Fucky. it is very cute. I played a level of it, and it is adorable. It gives me the warm feelies that an old school Banjo-Kazooie would. There's these levels, and there's just tons of things to collect and little puzzles to figure out. Ton of fun. Tea of Leaves. Obviously, Sea of Thieves
sounds delicious.
Which we will probably talk about here in just a second when I get done here.
Yep.
Halo 5 Guardians, big one.
Yeah.
I think you and I have plans to maybe play through it. Maybe we can suck Jake in and another buddy and go force them.
I'm all about it.
And the last one is, and I know it's a quick one, but I love the series, and it's Anal Fight Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Yeah. Or Final Fight.
One's
Double
not
Impact.
Enough.
Anal Fight does not sound fun. And when you throw two impacts in there. So, but all those are Xbox One games that I've added to my backlog, and I usually don't add a lot of games to the backlog. I'm very realistic. I'm not like Jake. I'm not just adding all the games that are around to it, you know? But that's five or six games there.
That's pretty impressive, I think, that you picked up Game Pass and immediately you have like five or six games that you're like, I actually want to play these.
Yeah, and there are even a few more that I probably downloaded and forgot because I just ran through. Because like, it's like they're free to you. Yeah. I mean, they were free to me because the code made them free,
right,
which probably made it more enticing. I don't know, but even for $10 a month, it's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some games on there that I downloaded and played for 5 or 6 hours, and then I just never went back to, but I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. It's
right.
Like,
yeah,
I didn't really pay anything for those games, so if I never finish them, no loss.
And you would have never tried them because they cost money before anyway, so
exactly.
Somebody, you know, that you're doing a favor to somebody, you at least tried their game.
Yeah. So one of those games was Mad Max, and I had looked at it on like a Steam sale for like $5, and I'm like, yeah, it's still too steep for me.
Yeah.
But Game Pass, yeah, I'll play it.
That is a game that's all about. Has a lot of good things about it. It just gets tired quick.
Right.
So it's a game you get tired of pretty quick. But
I played enough of it.
There you go.
All right. So I have also added Sea of Thieves from the Game Pass. And one thing that I think is pretty cool about this is it's also a Play Anywhere title.
Mm.
So not only do I get this brand new $60 game for, you know, the fee of $10 a month,
mm-hmm.
But I can also download it and play it on my Xbox or on my PC, and I have like the same save back and forth. So, you know, the other night I didn't feel like switching over to my couch to play with you guys, so I just loaded it up on PC and it was a good time.
So lazy, you can't go sit on the couch.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. You know, when you're already at your desk, it's easy just to double click the icon.
Literally just feet away as your couch. But yeah. No, that's good. I think that's interesting. So does that mean like when it says play anywhere, you can sign in on any PC and play it? Like it's, are there other ways you can play it? You play it on your
It means basically Xbox One and Windows 10.
Okay.
So you have to have Windows 10. You have to be logged into your Microsoft account in order to download it. So,
right.
You know, if you came over to my house and you had a game, you could log in to Windows, but then you'd have to download it again, whatever.
Right.
But that's one of the things that are one of the features from Xbox One that I really am impressed with that people don't talk about a whole lot. I guess maybe there's not that many people that actually utilize it, but it's handy for me. I enjoy that. And I also, after our discussion at lunch today about playing Halo, I'm sticking Halo 5 back on the backlog. Cause I had started it a while back with Tim, and as Tim does, he just moves on to other things before we finish a game. So I never actually beat it. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to playing that one.
I'll be your man. And, of course, I had sabotaged that as J-Lo 5.
Oh, my bad.
If you would like to have your life sabotaged in a good way,
yeah,
you can check out Caltech. This episode and all of our episodes is sponsored by Caltech. You just recently re-upped. Thank you so much, Caltech. And Caltech is also considering coming to Chicago just to prove they are a real person.
Oh, nice.
Yes. This episode is sponsored by Calton Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, please send an email to info@Calton.tech. That is info@Calton.tech. And thank you again, Calton Tech. Folks, if you like what you hear so far, you can check us out on Facebook, but hopefully you've deleted your Facebook account already, because that's what's going on around here. Brian deleted his this last week.
I
deleted mine 5 years ago, and I think Jake's the only one left on there. But if you do have Facebook, you can check us out on facebook.com/polykillpodcast. We're also on the Cartridge Club, cartridgeclub.org, that's short for organism.
Orgasm.
And that's where you can find us and all of our friends who are in the club who make tons of great podcasts, videos, blogs, and so forth. You can go to polykill.com. It's recently been revitalized a little bit. We changed the theme a little bit, changed the layout, so it's
looks
a little
good.
Easier to navigate. So you can go there and check out all of our videos, all of our blogs, all of our content. Shoot us an email at polykillpodcast@gmail.com if you hate us or love us. Go to Spotify if you want to hear us on Spotify. please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use, only if you love us. And youtube.com/PolycoPodcast is where you can find all of our videos. We have Rusty videos, pickup videos. Y'all need to get on the Twitter waves and badger Jake to put out some Hot Jake videos.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Briz have some ideas in the pipe for some videos. So there's going to be some more videos on the Polyco Podcast YouTube. And we're looking forward to that. So that takes us into the foreplay, which is the game. I feel like I have to explain it. It's the games that we're playing before we beat them.
Right. But we may not beat them.
We may not beat them, but we're grinding on them.
Yeah.
Getting the old grind.
We're getting the juices flowing.
There you go. I got a lot of games this time. Gout Blast 2, which sounds like a spray for your foot.
Yeah.
But Outlast 2, and I'm playing that with you, so we can talk about that one a little bit. I've enjoyed that game quite a bit.
Me too. And the funny thing is, last episode we talked about this, and we were both sort of like, you know, it's pretty cool. It's a little easier than the first game. And then, like, you came over, like, a day or two after that, and immediately the game was harder again. Like, yeah. We were getting chased left and right.
As soon as it started, the game, like, had heard the podcast and was like, oh, motherfucker.
Yeah, it was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, yeah, it did. We got chased a lot. I still feel like we made a lot of good progress. And that's the thing is, like, the game has stepped it up, but it's not been terribly difficult. It's just been a lot more action, mm-hmm. which is great. I mean, I enjoy a game that can scare me and feel tough without actually setting me back.
Yeah. The thing, there was one section we ran into where there was sort of a boss character that chased us around, and this was like the first time I think we ran into that situation, so we died a couple of times trying to figure out what we're supposed to do, but once we figured it out, like, it was pretty much, I'll say, smooth sailing since then, but it's definitely ratcheted up the tension and the scares, and I've been really enjoying the two. There's like, I don't want to spoil anything about the game, but there's like two locations you go to in the game. You kind of alternate back and forth, and one of them is, I feel like, is more about the being chased and outnumbered sort of tension you get, and then the other one is more about just the scares and the spookiness sort of thing. And I really enjoy the way that it kind of flip-flops back and forth between those things.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's also extremely gorgeous.
It is.
It blows me away how pretty this game is, because it's what, like a $20 game?
Yeah.
It's made by a company that only made one other game.
Yeah.
and it's so great. It's awesome looking. I'm blown away by it.
Yeah, we literally stopped in like this hallway, and we just gawked at how like the light reflected off the floor and the lockers and things, and we were just like, wow, look at that, it looks so real.
Yeah, which is reminiscent to the time we were playing a GameCube game and we were just gushing over this mud puddle we found.
That's true.
Yeah, we do that.
There's
a lot.
An Evil remake.
But yeah, you got to give props, man. It looks good.
Yeah, and that kind of I went out and put that tweet out that was just like, I can't believe how good games look these days. Like, I feel like I should be used to it by now. I should just be like, accept, like, yeah, games look really good now, but I don't. I still see it. I'm like, wow, I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's like, are games now making art that are better than vision?
Yeah, seriously. Is this what the real world is supposed to look like?
Yeah. I need more particles in my life, evidently. Another one that I've been working on, obviously, is Personified. Just Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it as much recently. I'm not tired of it. I just really wanted to play a few other games. I mean, Game Pass sort of halted me a little bit.
Yeah.
Sea of Thieves coming out halted me a little bit. But
yeah, basically everybody was like, hey, we're playing Sea of Thieves, you better be there. So.
Yeah, pretty much. So not much to say about that other than, you know, I'm through the, I think, fifth palace, working on the sixth. So, I don't know. I'm 1% through. Ham Cage 2 Universal Boar. That's pretty good, dude.
That was a tough one to sabotage.
Ham and Boar work out.
Yeah,
that's good.
About as good as I got.
It's a Rampage 2 Universal Tour on the N64. My buddy Chad wanted to play some games with me recently, and I can always tell when people are trying to, like, when they want to play games with me, but they know the games I have, so they're like thinking of some games from their childhood that maybe they wanted to try again or play again or check out. And so I feel like this was a game for him where he's like, I remember playing this, and he's like, I don't remember if it's good, but I just kind of want to play it again.
Yeah.
And it's a game that's certainly funner with two people because it's the same thing over and over again.
Is it basically like the first Rampage where you just smash buildings and eat people?
It's 100% what this game is.
Okay. I remember really loving that as a kid. I don't remember how you scored points or anything. I just remember it being fun being big monsters and smashing stuff.
That's essentially it. That's the whole hook. And I think it's easy to get tired of that now. Like after like right. four or five levels, you're like, well, okay. But yeah. this one, I mean, you can die. It can be a challenge. And there is, we've found some strategies to it that make it a little better. So it's been fun just trying to figure it out. So I think cool. we'll stick with it. It's kind of cool. What about you? Take some here.
I have been playing Size of the Poontator, which is Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Size of the Poontator.
the Poontator is pretty big.
Man, I've never been so proud of a sabotage in my life.
I kind of wish I hadn't seen this earlier because I cracked up laughing when I first saw it. So the impact was a little lessened the second time around, but that is a great sabotage. So yeah, this is another Game Pass game, and I think last time I looked, I'm about 30%, 35% through. I really liked the first Tomb Raider, or I should say the reboot.
Yeah,
Tomb Raider
2013.
And I feel like this one is definitely better in ways, but it's also very similar.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the fact that they've added in a lot more like hidden tombs and things that you can find.
Certainly.
Because I feel in the original reboot, this is so weird to talk about this. like, you know, you'd find a tomb and it'd be like a cave, and it's like you figure out how to, you know, move a lever or something, and then you got your treasure and then you're gone.
All right. Yeah, the original Poontator was more action.
Yeah. Definitely a lot more of the, you know, landscape traversal and shooting guys. I do like in this one, like I was going this direction for part of the quest or whatever, and I saw this area behind like a locked door that I couldn't get through. So I was like, I wonder if there's a way I can get back there. So I look around and I was like, oh, I could jump on that crate and then jump over there and climb up and over. And then suddenly I find myself in this area and there's like this entrance to this mine. And I spend like 30 minutes, 35 minutes just down this rabbit hole that had nothing to do with the quest I was on. And that I really like about this game. I feel like
it's sort of unexpected, right? Like
you feel like you're discovering something.
Yeah, you'd be just as happy with a game that was just more linear, but the fact that they add all these wrinkles, it makes that game in particular so much more memorable and fun.
Yeah, and like, you know, the whole theme of Tomb Raider is, you know, discovery, and like, so when you find somewhere that you didn't know was there and you had no impetus to go there other than you were curious, it's something satisfying about that.
Yeah.
So I'm really digging it, and I'll definitely stick with it.
And the reason I smiled at you the whole time you talked is because I was still thinking about Poontator.
Poontator.
Should we talk about Sea of Beef a little bit?
Sure.
Since it's a game that just came out this past week, everybody's playing it, literally everybody on Earth except for like four people.
Yep.
What do you think about it so far?
I recognize the criticisms that people have about the game, specifically that it seems shallow, that there are limited things to do. At the same time, I'm still having fun with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I still log in by myself and just go find some treasure when I have, you know, half an hour here and there. Like, you came over yesterday to play Colot, and I was like, well, let me get a little bit of Sea of Thieves in before he comes over. And in that time, I did a mission where I found there were three treasure chests on this island to get. And I dug up one, put it on the ship, dug up the next one, put it on the ship, dug up the third one. On my way back to the ship, I saw a guy climbing onto my boat. I'm like, oh, no, you don't. So I climbed up after him, and I like threw down the chest I had. And I pulled out my sword and I was looking for him, and I see him coming out of like the captain's area holding one of my chests, and he just kind of freezes when he sees me. And I expect a fight at this point, but he just drops the chest and he jumps overboard and he yells, sorry. But I like pull out my sniper rifle and I shoot him in the ass, and he keeps on going. So at this point, like I had like four treasure chests on my ship at this point, and I didn't want to lose any of them. So I was like, I let him go. He seemed like he wasn't really a threat at this point. So I just pulled up my anchor as fast as I could and sailed back to an outpost so I could sell everything. So
that's
like,
awesome.
I'm still having a good time with it.
Yeah.
And there's something about just the water and the sound of the waves is really satisfying. I don't know.
There's plenty to it. And I think I made this tweet where I said, I don't know if it's a game I'll still be playing a month from now.
Right.
Just because, I mean, and that's not, I feel like hearing that, you assume that I don't like the game.
Right.
But I'm definitely having fun with it. I just can sort of see the limitations of it as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, a month on any game is a good amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the excitement for this game was that it was going to be a game that's pervasive and people could continue to play it, and I think it can be if they continue to add stuff to it.
Yeah.
Right now it feels fairly bare bones, but I will also acknowledge that there's certainly things below the surface, literally,
yeah,
that we don't know about. Like there's I haven't seen the Kraken. I've not even interacted with another ship, and I think that kind of sucks because this is supposed to be probably its peak play period. You know, it's hot, everybody's playing it, it's out.
Yeah.
You know, millions of people, and I've yet to come across another. I mean, I've seen a boat in the distance, but I've not seen another person. So, you know, that experience will obviously be exciting if it ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
But just some of the simple things, like there's a predictable recipe for how the game sort of generates what you're supposed to do. So you go to a guy who gives you a map or a quest, and then you go get it and bring it back. And that's just like the base of it. And it's considered lucky if you find like a riddle or something, or something that can expand that experience. And so the game sort of gives you these excuses to go out in the world and then really just hopes the world creates something for you. And if it doesn't, it's kind of lame. I mean, I'm still not completely over just sitting on the ship and enjoying the view.
Right.
Like, but if that wears out and then the recipe sort of wears out, it's like going to need something more than just three enemies, because there's just snakes, sharks, and skeletons, and too many snakes for my taste, personally.
Yeah.
I'm a big old snakeophobe, and even the little cartoony ones in the game freak me out a little bit. So I don't know. It's just there's some things there that I think that can be improved upon and probably will be.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the kind of game that, like if I tell my kids to go outside and play, the fun they have is dependent on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the yard is there, the swing set is there, the slide, the toys, everything is there, but it's not inherently fun unless you go out and make it fun, right?
Right.
I think this game is sort of like that. They gave us the playground, they gave us the tools, they gave us the reasons to go from point A to point B and to want certain things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's the interactions that we have in that area that are going to make it really fun. Like there's some things that I want to try that requires other people to help you out. Like I want to find another ship and like become allies with them and go sailing together and just like totally take out, you know, ships that are by themselves or whatever. Like I want to recruit a fleet of people and sail around. And I don't know how feasible that is. I don't know how many people are in a server at the same time, but I feel
not
like
many,
there's
in my opinion, because and I think that's the drawback, is like if there were more ships or more interactions, I definitely feel a little bit different about the game, but also at the same time, kind of like that it's been like, because it's given me an opportunity to learn the game a little
bit. True. You don't want to log in and immediately get robbed of all your stuff.
Exactly. So I'm kind of mixed on it. I mean, I wish there was a little more population, or like if I could sail out and see more ships out there or more people. And I'm with you. Like, I'm not all about just, you know, literally pirating and murdering everybody. If we can form alliances and have some fun, I'm all about it.
I will say, like, when I logged in yesterday, before you came over, I, in that short span where I sailed to an island, got treasure and came back, I saw, I think, three other ships. One guy got on my boat and one person shot cannons at me from like a tower next to an island or something. So I feel like there was a lot of interactions with other people in that space. So
maybe it's picking up then.
I'm wondering if they're figuring out their server issues and more people are getting online.
That's good news.
It may even be like they tweak their matchmaking to put more people on a server if they feel like there's not enough interactions between people or something. I feel like it's things they can fix or they can add to make it better.
Certainly, because when you're in the game, it works.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing broken about the game itself. It's just, man, I wish there was like another ship or something.
And I will say the carrot on the stick of like fancy uniforms and swords and things,
yeah,
it does kind of interest me. Like, it works on me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed that there's no reward aside from cosmetics, but at the same time, I think it's a good thing for this game because it's not going to... You can enter the game at any point in its lifetime and be
right.
Everybody's equal.
Yep.
And so that's definitely good news, but at the same time, I feel like, why the fuck am I doing this shit?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need the treasure then. I don't need it. I can just run around and pick on people
it's
and
true.
Have as much fun.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's definitely good, and I'm sure we'll have more thoughts and feelings about it as time goes on. But for now, it's certainly something that I kind of look forward to getting into just about every night. Like, man, I wonder if people are getting on.
Yeah, I think part of the appeal is that everybody's doing it.
That
you
is
know?
Part of it, yeah.
And it's just a cool way to hang out.
Yeah, for sure.
Like when after you logged off the other night, me, Jake, and Musty got our boat got sank, and we started playing music as the boat went down.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
just
hilarious.
Stupid little things like that were funny.
Yeah, for sure. Fun. The fun in that game is what you make of it. All right, you got anything else going on in the old foreplay section?
Just had old Outlast 2 on there as well, and then still plugging away a bit at WoW when I get some free time and. My eternal side quest, Hearthstone.
Yeah, because you're a Blizzard boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us into the discussion. And this one's interesting because it's sort of Brian and I specific to a point. Now, we have included Jake in this since we've known Jake, which has been just under 3 years at this point. But I've known Brian for 10 years at this point, so mm-hmm. we have a little more history together. And we... Brian could probably do a better job of explaining this, but we started going to, and you've heard Brian talk about Tim, this guy Tim.
Yep.
Tim plays Halo with Brian sometimes.
Yep.
Tim had a virtual boy that Tim evidently doesn't even remember having.
Yeah. That's weird.
And Tim also was helping Brian kick over trash cans. So the infamous Tim, and we're not going to give away anything about where Tim lives or anything like that, but... Tim has an awesome house and throws an awesome video game party.
Yep.
And Brian and I attend it. So how did it all start?
So I think I call this the prototype Geddon. Okay, so this party, we call it Video Geddon, which is short for Video Game Armageddon.
Right.
And recently we've been just calling it Geddon because it's easier to say. So there was this time I called the prototype Geddon. So... Tim and I went to high school together. We went to college together. After college, he got a job like 3.5 hours away, so couldn't hang out and play games and play music like we used to. So a few times a year, I'd just go stay at his house. And, one time we were like, hey, why don't we just all bring our Xbox 360s over? Like me, his brother, Brendan, Tim, and our friend Dean were like, let's just bring all our Xboxes over. We'll play like 4-player Gears of War, like Horde mode or something. And we just go over to Tim's tiny little apartment and set up our stuff. He had some extra TVs. And it was really fun, like having your own screen,
right.
But still being in the same room.
Like a LAN party with consoles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Being able to be in the room and interacting with people while you're still getting your full game experience. It's cool. So not long after this, it was during the summer and my birthday was coming up and Tim and Brennan had bought this new house together. So they had a lot more room. And I suggested for my birthday, we invite like 6 of our friends to his house and we have like an 8-person LAN party, so we could do like 4-on-4 matches and stuff like that.
Bring your own flat screen, bring your own Xbox 360.
Yeah, it was everybody has to bring all of your own equipment.
Yeah.
And when we were setting up, it was like, Tim had his TV on the TV stand, and then we had some smaller screens that we put like just on the coffee table, and it was really ghetto. We had like wires running all over the place.
Total fire hazard.
But it worked. And it was really fun.
And this was also your birthday, right? Like, there was a birthday cake with your face on it there.
Yeah.
It was my first time meeting any of these people. You just kind of was like, hey, man, do you want to go across the state with me to hang out with some dudes and play video games? I'm like, I love adventure, and I love video games, and you seem like a cool dude. I don't think any of my organs are at risk here, so... I showed up there and was immediately blown away by, one, I thought I was pretty nerdy until I met a lot of these people.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, these people are really into this. little did I know I'd have a podcast about 8 years later, but...
Yeah, it was one of the best decisions of your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this point, like when we got together, we were kind of jokingly calling it video game camp.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like when you're a kid and you go away to camp or whatever.
I remember one of our first ideas was to find a way to monetize it. Like, we could get kids here and have them, have their parents pay us to play all these games.
Yeah.
It's like, then eventually we're like, fuck that.
Yeah.
We want to play all these games.
That's right. And I think it was Justin, our friend Justin, who suggested the video game name. And we were like, you know what? That sounds way cooler than video game camp. So we just latched onto it and never looked back.
Yeah, video game camp is not something that a bunch of dudes in their upper 20s and 30s, it doesn't sound
like
a fun...
It sounds weird.
It does. Yeah. Videogeddon sounds way more metal.
So, yeah, this first one was pretty ghetto as far as it goes, but everybody enjoyed it.
Called it Video Ghetto.
So we decided that we were going to keep it going, and we've been doing somewhere like 2 or 3 a year.
Yeah.
It kind of fluctuates a little bit.
We're up to 23 now?
We're up to 25.
25.
The next one is 25.
Holy shit.
And Tim, as Tim does, has gone all out on this. You know, I don't remember which Geddon it was, but at some point Tim went out and bought like 10... Xbox 360s.
Yeah, I want to say it was right around like 3 or 4. He got tired of just, I guess, us bringing our own shit and decided that he would raid Craigslist. So then he got panels of TVs everywhere.
Yeah, and, you know, like I feel like every time it's a little bit better.
It's always different.
Yeah.
He does put a lot of work into it, yeah.
Around Video Geddon 4, I filmed a video of the setup, and at the time I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Can't get better than this.
Yeah. And then looking back on it now, it's like,
that's child's play.
Yeah.
Now he's got panels of, like, here's how complex it is. It's a room full of video games. I have a room full of video games.
Right.
I have every system that anybody could ever want. I go to Tim's house, I don't know how to turn anything on. There's TVs, monitors, switches, glow-in-the-dark buttons. I don't know what does shit.
He's got, like, remotes for remotes.
That is a true story. Yeah. Got my remote. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So... Do you want to kind of describe how this is set up so people can kind of picture what we're talking about?
Well, there's a few different stations, and so one that appealed to me, and I remember Tim often mocked me for collecting video games, but he's actually one of the reasons I got inspired to do it.
Yeah.
Because I went to his house, and he had this shelf of NES games. Some of them were like complete in box, and I hadn't even seen a lot of complete in box games at the time. This is like maybe 2009, 2010. And there's just, by my standards now, it was like a small collection.
Right.
But at the time, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, look at all these Nintendo games. I was blown away by it. And so that was its own like little section. But the retro section sort of expanded slowly to where he dedicated like a wall to it, and, like a room. And now, evidently, it's like its whole thing. Like he has he's gone all out for these IKEA shelves. And so he's gotten... every console that you could think of, I mean, I thought I knew of most of them, but he's like, have you heard of this?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. He's like, well, I got one.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what does it play? He's like, it's got two games for it. I'm like, why does he play? And I don't know. So that's one is the retro. But then I think the big draw is the Xbox setup, which is 5 big TVs in each room. There's 2 rooms. So the game that we play usually, or the game that I guess Video Geddon was founded upon, is the Gears of War series.
Right.
Because you can split up 5v5.
Yeah. It was like the most people we could get to fill a game, basically. So,
yeah.
And, you know, there's something really satisfying about chainsawing your buddy and yelling across the room like,
oh God, it's so good.
Get fucked, idiot. You
know? Just yelling shit constantly. And they can't do anything about it because they're tied to their controller and they're just yelling back, shut up, leave alone.
Yeah.
And we know each other's gamer tags, so we can pick on people from the other rooms.
So Yeah, like it is house, you know, when you, I feel like it's changed a bit over the years, but usually when you walk in the house, it seems fairly normal in that first room.
Yeah, it didn't always.
Not always. But then, like, if you go downstairs, to your right is the one room with five big screen TVs, five 360s. I think he usually has like a Street Fighter 2 arcade game in there as well.
Right. And in addition to the 360s, there's also GameCubes and PS2s. Yeah. They kept all those, and they're all LAN connected.
Yep. And then to the left of the stairs is what we call the arcade room, because it historically had all of the arcade machines in there.
Yeah, like 10 different ones. Yeah. But a lot.
Stuff from like Super Mario Brothers to Super GT, Ikaruga, like, yep. He had
Neo
a
Geo machine.
He had an arcade machine with an Xbox 360 in it, so you could play like the new Mortal Kombat games, right, in there.
Big MAME machine.
In that same room is the retro setup, which is typically it was just like ATV and some retro consoles and a whole bunch of games on a really pretty looking shelf. But that's his new thing that he's doing now is the super retro section.
Super retro,
so that'll be new for this next one. And then upstairs in the living room, it's like you got your typical couch and TV.
Yeah.
And then you got about seven other TVs all over the place.
You think? I'm thinking
that might be exaggerating, but
I don't think
I think it's
more than seven. Yeah. There's like a big TV, and the reason he got that was because one year we had a video game scheduled during one weekend of March Madness. One weekend predicated the need to have TVs everywhere in this house. So he put four monitors there.
Yeah.
And I think there's more now. I think he put two big TVs on each side, so it like flanks. It's like a NASA Space Center. And just for March Madness. And then he also, above each Xbox TV downstairs, is another TV.
Or about four of them.
Above each TV.
Yeah.
So, like, you can play a game, and you also have your own sports TV if you want to watch sports or, like, a TNT drama while you're playing or whatever, HGTV. We watch all kinds of shit on that stuff.
And for a while, he had TVs in the bathroom. So if you...
He doesn't have them there anymore?
I think they were gone last time I was there. But it used to be like, even if you had to go pissed, you could still check out what was going on.
Yeah, and there are also feeds around the house, so you could watch other people play games.
Yeah. So he set it up so that you could stream the footage from like the upstairs TV or whatever to all the extra TVs downstairs. So if something was going on upstairs, you could still be downstairs playing Gears of War and kind of keep an eye on it.
Yeah, which is great for games like the Jack in the Box games or like they did Until Dawn playthrough.
Yeah, so there was a group of people. Now, normally, most of the time, everybody spends their time downstairs because that's where all the stuff is. The Xboxes, the arcades, the retro.
The porch.
And now he's added the PC game section downstairs as well. But
we should also mention that the reason there was a lot of changes is because Tim got him a girlfriend.
That's right.
And that forced a lot of the fun just downstairs.
Yeah. We just got to rearrange a little bit. But it actually works out better because the PC people aren't
it's all tight.
Excluded
all
from everybody.
Yeah.
But one time, Until Dawn was a new game that had come out, and there were some people playing it upstairs. And there was mainly two people playing and passing the controller back and forth. I think it was
Danny and Justin,
I think. But there was a crowd of like eight or nine people up there just watching it. And I don't know like if people have played Until Dawn, but it's you make decisions, and based on this, your characters, the multiple characters you play can live or die based on what you do. Mm-hmm. And Danny was having the funnest time of his life just picking all of like the really risky options.
Right, trolling the crowd.
Yeah, it'd be like, do you want to try to climb this slippery slope or do you want to, you know, take the safe way around? And he'd like, slippery slope it is, and everybody's like freaking out. Yeah. No, what are you doing, Danny?
Yeah.
So it was like this whole like crowd interactive experience almost. Like an option would come up and people would be yelling like, do this, and then he would do the opposite.
Yeah.
And
sometimes he would do what they wanted. That's what kept them on the field.
Yeah. And I actually stayed up there and watched for a while because I was really interested. But then it was like, oh, you know, we're starting up Gears downstairs. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
But they had the feed for the game on the extra TVs downstairs. And so, you know, while I'm playing Gears, I'm kind of keeping an eye on what Danny's doing. And I look up and, like, there's, like, this really cute character in the game. She's kind of like a tomboyish or something, and he totally gets her murdered, like gruesomely, like head ripped off, murdered. And I was, you know, kind of drunk at this point. I ran upstairs and I don't remember what I yelled. I was just like, "Fuck you, Danny!" And then I ran back
downstairs. And people immediately knew that you saw what happened.
Yeah, they knew exactly what I was talking about.
That's the beauty of the house. Nothing. All the games are known. Everybody knows what's going on. So good. There's also a big Rocket League setup with the PCs. We had some big Rocket League tournaments.
Yeah, after Rocket League got big, he was like, you know what, we need a PC section so people can do this, and people have used that for other things too. I have personally used it to play Hearthstone occasionally, like when everybody's still asleep on Saturday morning.
Right. He's also got a music room full of how many thousands of dollars of music equipment do you think is in this room? It looks like Trent Reznor, like it's like a studio. It's almost a professional studio.
Yeah, I mean, he could totally bring in some professional musicians and produce an album.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's not even an exaggeration. Like, he has the means of making.
He's got so many soundboards and mixers and
electronic drum sets, guitars.
It looks like he could launch a space shuttle to me.
Absolutely. And that's fun because we can go in there and jam and play some karaoke or just mess around with some music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, we're gushing over it. And we hadn't even got to the part that we spend the most time on, which is on the porch playing Flip Cup.
That's right.
And we even come up with, like, nerdy ways to make Flip Cup more fun. If you don't know what Flip Cup is, basically you fill up a solo cup with a little bit of beer, and when it's your turn, you toss it back, you drink it, and you got to put it on the table and flip it so that it lands on its top. And we found some creative ways to make that even more like a video game. We called it Flip Cup the Gathering and introduced some stuff. It's just endless amounts of fun that you can have at this dude's house.
So initially, video getting was all about the games. And then somewhere along the line, we're like, hey, let's go outside and play Flip Cup. And we're like, you know what? I got drunk and it was fun. We were all on the porch just yelling. Let's do that again. And there was a point where we spent more time playing Flip Cup than playing video games.
Yeah. Now, there's a Geddon Council. There's like maybe six or seven esteemed members, a few of which have never missed a Geddon. And I remember after this particular Geddon in which we all just got shmammered on the porch for 3 days and nobody played any of Tim's video games, that we all got together and we're like, this needs to change.
Yeah, we've got a problem, guys. but yeah, you mentioned Flip Cup the Gathering. Like, Flip Cup is a staple of video Geddon now. Like, we've tried to trim it back a little bit so it's not out of hand, but
we have a scoreboard. We have an electronic scoreboard on the porch.
So you and I decided to build a scoreboard back in the day. And so I would come over to your house in the evening and we would work on this thing in your basement, and it was, you know,
it was a great idea.
It was a great idea. We had some difficulty with the execution, maybe. It was basically plywood.
Yeah.
And we had these long bolts on, like, the two sides with some nuts on them.
Yeah.
To act score as, like, a bean counter.
Yeah.
So you could keep score while you're playing Flip Cup.
But the best part.
Yeah. You want to get the tell best part?
Was that in between it, we had had this tubing that we had going through it, and we had cut holes in it in specific places to where you could pour a beer into the very top of the scoreboard and hold your cup under it, and it would fill your cup to the right amount.
Yeah, and you could put like four cups underneath.
It was an engineering marvel.
Yeah.
Unless you didn't clean it. And
right.
And then it turned into a moldy fucking nightmare.
Yeah, so we used it maybe once for the beer.
It worked out pretty well, but I think the art on it, it looked awesome.
Yeah, yeah, we painted some Super Meat Boy. Meat Boy was on one side, and then Dr. Fetus was on the other side. And we also painted some like saw blades and stuff.
It looked fucking
good. It was cool. And everybody really thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Until our friend Don, the engineer.
Yeah, made the electronic scoreboard that we all love. You can just run over and smack it while you're drunk and the score goes up.
He knew that drunk people loved smacking giant buttons. That's what it was.
So true. Especially in Tim's house where everything's a giant button and you just smack buttons constantly. But anyway, I think we've definitely gushed over video again. I don't know if that was coherent at all. We're getting excited about it because we've got one less than a month away.
Yep.
And of course, Jake will be there. If you follow me on Instagram, I'll take some pictures of it. That's for sure. It's a marvel, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How many people do you think show up? I think it fluctuates between about 30 and 40 on a good getting.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people, you know. I mean, we're describing this as if it's the Super Bowl, but it's 30 to 40 of your closest friends in a house playing video games for two nights.
Yeah, and, you know, there have been nights where a lot of people couldn't make it, so maybe there were 10 of us.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's in that 20, 30 range on like a Friday night.
And we forgot one of the more fun parts of the whole damn thing, Brian, is we're fucking rap stars.
It's true.
We've put on, what, 4 concerts now?
Yeah, so we were getting ready for one of these parties, and we were like, you know what would be funny? If we made like a rap album and debuted it at this Geddon.
Okay, we have to leave for Geddon on a Friday, and I think this idea pops up on a Sunday. It was a Sunday before. It's a tight timeline.
Yes.
But we both said, yeah, that would be a good idea if we were to spend this week doing just that.
We had nothing better to do, and I had this pretty sweet iPad app called GarageBand where you could make songs really easily.
Boy, did we.
Yeah, so we spent the week in my basement of the house I was renting at the time, and we came up with 10, I say 10 songs.
They were about a minute long each.
Yeah.
But they were all based on Geddon tropes.
Right.
Inside jokes.
And we had fun making it, and we took it, and we did like a surprise reveal, right?
We made it all awesome, too. We put them in cases,
yeah,
like game cases, and people were taking them, and we acted all cool and shit.
I feel like we did some sort of competition, and we gave the winner the first copy or something, and everybody was like, you did what?
Yeah.
You made a rap album?
Yeah, and we of course, we're called Brizzen Diddles, and we actually have a video on the Polykill YouTube of Co-op Bros, one of our hits.
Yeah, so this, like, people really enjoyed it. They thought it was really funny, and so we felt compelled to work on it some more.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with another album called...
The first one was called No Giggity.
No Giggity.
And the second one was called So Smart.
So Smart.
Which is a thing that we all say all the time.
And then we had a live concert at Geddon.
Yeah, and we thought it was going to be kind of shitty, but it was really well received.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that drunk people not only like to slap buttons, they also like to just yell shit with everybody else.
We had crowd participation.
Mm-hmm.
We had funny videos playing along with us.
So good. We had personas. We're all badass rappers.
Yeah. Had like the whole get-ups and everything.
Yeah. Now we're about to produce album 4.
Uh-huh.
I don't know when that's going to come out. but it's turned into a career, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Our biggest hit was about shitting on a stranger's porch. And that one sold millions.
Yeah.
And we have got some other ones that are a little more kosher. Of course, the big one, the good one, is on YouTube, video-wise. We've got a few more songs than that, but that's Brizzen Diddles for you. Anything else you want to add here, Brian?
Just real quick, I'll mention about video getting number 10. I took a bunch of pictures of Tim's house, and I put it up on Reddit. And as an album, and I was like, hey, check out my friend's house. It's crazy.
This might give this some credit once you tell them this.
Okay. So that post blew up on Reddit. It got 2,400 upvotes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of comments. And it actually got picked up by Kotaku. They emailed me and they were like, hey, we saw this post. Can we like show your pictures on our site?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. I double checked with Tim to make sure he was cool with it first.
Yeah.
So there was a point in time where we kind of had our 15 minutes of fame, and I tried really hard to leverage that. Because this was like right before Gears of War 3 or 4 was coming
Judgment.
Out. Judgment.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Epic, check out this really popular Reddit post of us playing Gears of War.
Yeah.
And look, they even talked about us on Kotaku.
And MSN News.
Yeah, it was picked up by a bunch of other little sites too. And I was like, you know, you should come here and let us play like an early build of Judgment or whatever, and we'll share it, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, that never Crickets. Worked out. They never responded.
It was a good attempt.
But I tried.
Yeah, it was a good attempt.
I mean, you know, like... seriously, like Gears of War is the focal game of this party.
Yeah, we're all familiar with it and play it.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean it's the best game or the funnest game, but it's a game we all love.
Yeah, and it's a game that everybody can play, mm-hmm. you know, like, because so many people can jump in, and we've gone through every iteration of the game. So I thought maybe a little goodwill, but no.
Didn't work out.
And then lastly, I'll mention that somebody that wrote a book called Manteeks heard about this and reached out, and he actually did an interview of Tim and shared some of the pictures in this book that he wrote. This was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But if you want to check out the book Manteeks, there's a section in there about like man caves.
Right.
And there's a little bit on Tim in there.
Yep. Tim's house is in there. All right. Well, that's been your episode 63. Of course, next week, in a couple weeks, of course, Jake will be back. And we'll be doing our March Madness Spring Clean-a-thon, where we wipe games off the backlog tournament style.
Yeah.
So we're going to bring that back. If you got any comments or anything about the show, you can hit us up on Twitter. We're at Polykill. Think of it. We're all together. We're at Polykill, and I'm at Trav Plays Games.
I'm at Hokey Briz.
And Jake is at The McAxel. Go ahead and reach out to Jake. Tell him you love him. He'll be back soon. And that's been it for this episode, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.
See you later.